From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, talking golf with you every single Saturday, Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. Mike is out at Fox Bend, a segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course, and we welcome in Lou Ramadani, the PGA General Manager out at Fox Bend Golf Course. Good morning, Lou, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, it's good to have you here, Lou. I pulled in, and obviously there was a different vibe when I came here to Fox Bend today. You know, the laughing, giggling, chuckling, and, you know, all of the camaraderie of friends, you know, there was a very different vibe because it is the Fox Bend Open today.
Yeah, club championship. We don't have any Bloody Marys going early today with these guys. Got a great field, championship flight. The highest handicap in that one today is a 0.9 index. So we've got a real competitive group up at the top, and a couple of those groups are finishing up right now. Just saw a couple great shots into 18. So nice, fun day. We got some beautiful weather. Obviously going to be a little bit warm this weekend, but I think these guys will be able to handle it.
Oh, I think so. And judging from what I've been watching already as these guys start finishing and come inbound, they're hitting it in spaces and places that I could only dream about doing. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, let's talk about club championships. Tyler and I earlier were talking about what August looks like in, for example, my golf schedule. But we all know that this is club championship month, right, around Chicago, because, let's face it, in a couple of months, it's going to be snowing like heck. So, you know, you teach a lot of players, you counsel and coach some of the best, and when the average player has a big event, their club championship, their big member guest, or their version of the Ryder Cup, what are some of the things that you tell these guys so that they can put their best competitive foot forward?
I think the number one thing is a lot of people don't have a routine before the shot, a pre-shot routine, and that's something that I've used in competitive golf to settle my nerves. Kind of helps you redirect that energy and that to your focus of the process of your routine, and just can kind of make you feel comfortable for that couple seconds that you're actually over the ball and striking it. The other thing is a lot of people get out and they'll be pounding balls. They'll pound balls, you know, days before and kind of wear themselves out a little bit. And I tell all those players, like, everything around the greens, chipping, putting, bunker play, that's really where you're going to save your strokes. Obviously, if you're not hitting it real great, then you need to work on it a little bit. But if you're hitting the ball in front of you, it's all about the short game. That's how you're going to score.
Yeah, and that's a point well taken because, you know, one of my coaches said the same thing to us in high school. You know, you got to have the short game because if your tee to green game isn't there, it can save you.
Mm-hmm.
But if your tee to green game is there, that's also how you score, you know, and do like what I didn't do. And I made 7 3 putts on the second day of the North Shore Amateur. So I needed to take a page out of here. I was the guy hitting too many balls. But to your point, I do see that a lot. And I ask the guys, they're like, oh, I'm hitting 2.5 buckets today because I got to play tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what happens tomorrow? They wake up stiff, sore. Things don't feel as good as they did when they woke up the day before. And I find that. Do you see that quite a bit in your world?
Yeah, I mean, this morning I talked to at least 4 different guys that said they were hitting balls yesterday and they're kind of feeling a little sore this morning. And, you know, I think that the players just don't think as much about the scoring around the greens as much as they should. That's really where you're gonna save yourself, as you mentioned, or shoot your good score when you're playing well, is getting the ball in the hole. And when you're closer to the hole, a lot of times people don't spend as much time around the greens as they need to. So that's really where it's at.
Well, and then the other thing that I would throw out there is the ability to manage the course and understand and accept the outcome at times. I feel like when you're playing amongst your friends, your usual Sunday, Saturday group, you're pulling that driver out almost every single hole mm-hmm. just because it's habit. Versus really understanding your angles and understanding where the hole might be cut today and what's on my best vantage point of coming into the green, and then where's my bailout in the event that I have to bail out or come up with a miss, and what's the smart miss versus the short-sighted or dumb one, right? So sometimes I think, you know, hitting hybrids or three woods off of tee takes a lot of trouble out of play that you can't reach, especially on dog legs and that kind of thing. But I don't think when you play in a competition that just because you hit driver 14 times every Saturday with your usual group that you're going to go do that in a stroke play event where you're trying to avoid, let's face it,
the
phone numbers.
Number. Yeah.
Right. So sometimes getting up and down and saving a bogey is far better than trying to take a risk early in the first round and trying to thread one through a needle of a hole in a tree, and the next thing you know, you're making triple. And while you can't win the Fox Bend Open today, you could certainly lose it.
Yeah, and that's the old adage in all tournament golf. You're not going to be able to win it on the first day, but you can sure lose it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think there was something I heard Patrick Cantlay say a press conference he was doing. He started accepting the result of every shot before he hits it. And I thought that was a great way to think about it. It's going to free you up a little bit, and you can do everything you can to get out of your own way is going to help you on the golf course. If you're thinking too much, if you're not, if you're getting frustrated with a result of a shot, that's gonna affect you long term on that round. It's not going to be just that hole or the next couple shots you play. It's going to stick with you because you're already creating that, you know, kind of anger and anxiety feeling in your body. If you just accept the result before you strike the shot, I think it really helps. I know I've definitely adopted that into my game, and I've seen definitely better results just because of that. I mean, you can get mad after a shot, but you can't get too mad.
No.
You already accepted it before you hit it. So you can be disappointed in yourself, but you got to move on. And I think that's a great way of looking at it.
Well, and I think you said something to me earlier in the season that really resonated with me and stuck with me. And it was really, you know, when you go out there, keep it really simple. Keep it to three things, right? Commit, execute, and accept. And that's all you can do. You commit to the shot. You execute it as best you can. And then the outcome, you just accept it. And move on, and let's go live to play another shot. You know, let's make sure that we're making smart commitments and executions here. But to your point, whatever happens, happens. And I think that's the other thing, is keeping your emotions in check. And I think that there will be people today that are going to be ready to throw in the towel, say around the 12th, 13th, 14th hole, saying, my tournament's over, you know. And they have.
I think we had one of those on one tee today.
Did you have that already? So, but to the point that is, you don't know how the group two in front of you are doing. You might be able to see a little of what's going on behind you and ahead of you. But if you're in a flight with 40, 50 guys, the point is, don't ever give up, right?
No, not in a competitive atmosphere. Just because, you know, I think you had mentioned earlier about taking different clubs off of tees, you know, than you normally would with your buddies out there, instead of just hitting driver on 14 holes, really kind of thinking your way around the golf course. You know, it's kind of that mentality, too, when you're playing a tournament round. You're not playing with your buddies. You start to feel a little different. You know, there's definitely some more nerves that are involved no matter who you are. I know we've all heard Tiger Woods say it for years, that he was nervous all throughout the rounds that he was playing when he was at his height. And I think that's what is good about this game, is you have different types of play. You're playing with your buddies for a couple bucks. You're playing with somebody you don't know. You're just paired up with them. That's a little different feel. And then you're playing tournament golf, and tournament golf is the ultimate. You got to putt everything out. You got to know the rules or as best you can to you know, move along if you get into a spot of bother. So I think this is the best way to play golf, and I know these guys are feeling it today. I could see it on the first tee.
Oh, I could feel it and see it myself. And that brings me to another question. How do you, Lou Ramadani, great player, how do you deal with nerves? How do you get over the anxiety, the anxiousness? What do you do to calm yourself down?
I try to take that energy and go into the process. So your pre-shot routine is for me, is huge. That's how I've been in tournament situations, feeling the nerves, bunch of people on the first tee. You're hitting open a tee shot. You know, you want to do well, but you just get into the routine. And if you're utilizing that energy to have that hyper focus you need at time of impact, I feel like that's really worked well for me. Just sticking to the routine. And you hear that a lot on TV. You don't see any guys on TV just walking up to the ball, chatting to their caddy, and hitting it. I mean, they're setting, they're doing their thinking in their think box. Once they get in the play box, they're reacting to it. Just as if I bounced past you the basketball and you raised up and shot a shot, you're not thinking about how far you're away from it or anything like that. You're just reacting to the target. And, having that process, I think, really does help.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler, do you ever get nervous when you play golf?
Oh, yeah. I think the first tee shot of the year is always the most nerve-wracking for me. Stepping up there after you haven't swung a club much aside from a driving range, that to me is always the most nerve-wracking when I get up there. But like, if everything else, once I get off that first tee shot, then everything after that is that. And then if you ever get asked to, if someone tells you, "Oh, go ahead, play through," you can go ahead and play through. Like, that's a nerve-wracking shot when you step up to that tee box and they're letting you go through. I actually have a story about that. One of my buddies, he lives in Syracuse, but we went to Syracuse together. And he was just out as a single, and he pulls up to a threesome in front of him, and they're like, "Oh, you can play through." He just hears that from his card, and he looks up and sees it's Jim Boeheim and his two sons, Buddy and Jimmy Boeheim, and they say, "Oh yeah, you can go ahead and play through." And this guy was a very good golfer, good high school golfer, could have played college, but he wanted more of like a bigger college experience. So he played through, and I think he said he stuck it within like eight, it was a par three. He stuck it within like 8 feet, and he's like, "That was the most nervous shot I've ever had in my life," and it ended up being one of the best shots I've ever had in my life.
That is absolutely hilarious. That's almost like the time I beamed Sam Snead at an event, and I didn't know he was there, and I walked up, and there is the squire saying, "Okay, let's see what you got, kid." And I don't even remember how I did it, but I knocked it up there somewhat close. And Sam Snead said, "Nice shot, kid." And I will never forget that as long as I live. But, you know, dealing with nerves, anxiety, anxiousness, I was given this tip. And what I've done lately is I start to hum. Because if you hum, they tell me that your nervous system gets cut off from the brain. And so if you hum...
I got to try that.
Yeah. I mean, and I actually used it. But my wife gave me a piece of advice. She goes, "Breathe, you got this." And so I'll say to myself, I'll remind myself to take a deep cleansing breath when I get nervous and remind myself, "I got this," and then just go out and play.
Yep.
But we all deal with these nerves, and I don't know about you, but as I get older, it just seems the nerves are not quite what they used to be 20 years ago, if you know what I mean. But that's probably why I should be on this side of the mic and not out there playing with these guys.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. The nervousness, I haven't noticed it yet. I mean, I'm 41 now, so I'm getting up there. But I haven't noticed it yet being more nervous than in the past when I first started playing competitive golf in the section. I don't know. I feel like maybe you just have a little bit more confidence as you start to get farther into the game. And, I hang my hat on all the good shots that I've hit over the years. And, again, that process. I can't stress that enough to any players that are listening out there that don't have a pre-shot routine. You got to create a pre-shot routine for yourself so you can start to, you know, like Mike was making the point earlier, selecting a shot, seeing the shot, going through your process to have the proper posture and your proper alignment, and then reacting to the golf shot. No thinking next to the ball. You can think back behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you always profess, play with love and joy in your heart. And then when you do that and you put it all together, you go out and you have fun and you shoot a low score.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you can always have a few transfusions to help with it too.
Lou Ramadani, the PGA general manager out at Fox Bend Golf Course, with us. Is there a way, because pressure is tough to simulate. You kind of just have to go out and be in the moment to really get a grasp of that. But is there a way for you that you kind of simulate pressure for some of those bigger putts?
No, not really. You know, obviously you can tell yourself when you're on the practice green, you know, this one's for that or that one's for this, whatever. But, you know, like you used to do when you were younger, winning the U.S. Open with this 20-footer, right?
Yeah.
but honestly, I think it really just comes down to, again, you're going to feel those nerves. It's just, we're all human. You're going to feel it more in those situations. That's what makes some of these athletes in all these different sports just so special, is because when they are in those pressure-packed situations, they're able to utilize that energy and redirect it into their focus. And I think that's the biggest key. And that's where, you know, for me, again, that routine, that pre-shot routine can kind of at least settle me down and get me ready to make a good golf swing, a good reaction to what I'm looking at. Yeah, I think the simulating it, it's very difficult.
Right. And but at the same time, you know, it's all about just putting it together, relaxing, and having some fun with it.
Yeah, get out of your own way, Mike.
Getting out of the way. Yeah, there it is. Getting out of your own way. And you know, it's funny. Another guy that I think back to when you talk about, you know, getting angry or having anxiety was the great Fuzzy Zeller. What he used to do is whistle. Whenever he hit a bad shot, he'd be whistling down the – and he thought, wow, he doesn't really care. Oh, no, that's his way of – spewing four-letter words, he just whistles, and it worked for him. So it's interesting. We all have different nuances and ways to calm ourselves down, but finding that zone, I think, is what you're talking about. That's what the great ones can do. When the nerves are there, the anxiety, you know, the Michael Jordans of the world, the Tiger Woods, the Annika Sorenstams, they can slow things down and put themselves in the zone. We just find it sometimes we find it and we don't know how we got there, but we want to return and just don't know how.
Right. I think sometimes those guys don't know how they're doing it either, though, Mike. You know, I really think that it's just kind of in them to really be focused on what their normal process is, whether it's in practice or you're playing a casual round. And they're able just to put that into their memory bank to the point where they can replicate it when they're under the gun.
Lou, thanks so much for joining us today,
yeah,
and best of luck with the Fox Bend Open that you've got taking place.
Thanks. I appreciate that, guys.
Hey, we love the support you give us, and hey, coming out to Fox Bend's like coming home.
I love having you guys come out here and be on the property for the show. And Tyler, you got to get out here and play some golf, man.
Absolutely.
Tyler, I was also challenged. Uh-huh. They want you, me, out here to do a listener morning event out here at Fox Bend. And
okay.
I said, as soon as his finger's good, we're good. I had people on the first tee saying, I want to play. When's Tyler coming out? So
well, I
said, I'll ask him on the air.
I think I've got another 2 weeks with this. So once the swelling's pretty much out of the finger, then I'll be good to go, and then I'll be out there.
You
I might need a little bit of practice, though, because I have not picked up a club in probably 7-8 weeks now.
Sometimes that's a good thing, Tyler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But come on out. I got Lou. Lou will straighten you out in a New York second.
Come on out to
Oswego, right on Ogden Avenue. It's held three Illinois Opens?
I think it was three,
This place is fantastic shape, one of the best conditioned courses in our district. Come on out to Fox Bend and just see Lou.
Yeah, we'll have to make that happen later on this summer. Appreciate it, Lou. Best of luck the rest of the way. And looks like the weather's going to be great as well for the rest of the weekend. So awesome stuff there. Thanks for stopping by and chatting with us here. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Speaking of those club championships too, Mike, I want to get your full composite list of tips, tricks, all that stuff that you need to make sure is all ironed out before you take on your club championships. All that coming up next here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
We'll be right back.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. Mike is out at Fox Bend Golf Course ahead of the Fox Bend Open. And it is that club championship season right now. And a lot of people gearing up, getting ready. Some people may be already underway. But Mike, how many of these would you say you've participated in over the course of your golfing life?
Oh, I have probably played, I'm going to guess, in at least 25 championships of sort, whether it was the Glen Ellen Open, the Glen Oak Club Championship, the Kishwaukee Country Club Championship. So I've, yeah, at least 25, if not maybe 30 to 35. I'm now beginning to show my age here, but yes, I have competed quite a bit over the course of my career, both on an amateur as well as in a professional level. So, yeah, I can understand and appreciate what everybody's going through. And it's been interesting as the people have been coming off of 18, they come in, they do their scoring with Lou, but I've noticed there's a few gentlemen that have already made their way out to the putting green, and they are working. Obviously, this gentleman did not putt well today. He's working on that in preparation for tomorrow. You know, it's a season with, you know, or August is that month, as you mentioned, the club championship season, and it's often met with either, you know, a trepidation, angst. But there are certain people that really look forward to this, and they thrive on competition when other people fear it, don't like it, it's not their cup of tea, and they do everything they can to avoid it. I learned at an early age, you want to embrace the opportunity and to have that gratitude about having a skill set that allows you to be here and not to fear the moment, but really embrace it. And it's tough, I think, to play this sport as it is, but to compete is even tougher because our minds take us to very negative places. It's funny. I'll ask somebody, well, how did you play today? And you're expecting to hear the score, some good shots that they hit, but it's always, I shot this. It could have been that. I missed this. I hit it out of bounds here. I hit it in the lake there. If I don't do all of that, I shoot this. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I shot this. Yeah, I had a few mistakes, but you won't believe the shot I hit over here or the bounce I got over there. It's amazing how much we forget the good bounces, the ricochets that go our way, but we harp on all the things that didn't go our way. So I think as we prepare for this month in your championship, be kind to yourself. Don't talk negative to yourself. Make it a point that this entire month you will not criticize yourself one time. I bet you can't do it. It's hard, and it's hard in that emotional moment when you're in the process of missing a three-footer, not to get down on yourself. But this is the month not to get down on yourself. This is the month to build confidence. And how do you build that confidence? Well, Lou mentioned it. You got to have a routine. But I find if the more you practice that short game, other aspects of your game start to fall into place, and most specifically, your tempo, your timing. Because if you are practicing putting and chipping, those movements are very fluid and smooth. They're not done with all the might, like I'm trying to hit this thing from here to Timbuktu. It's allowing your body to calibrate itself to make good chips, good impact on putts. Now, while those strokes are little and short, they transfer when you start pulling the club further back to making full swings. And the biggest thing, I think, when people do practice this month on the practice range for their tee to green game, make sure you're making a good full turn and that back right shoulder, if you're right-handed, or your trail shoulder. We want to make sure that that thing gets back on the turn, because anxiety, anxiousness, fear, and worry will create a much shorter, abbreviated backswing, and you will start down to the golf ball prematurely, which is going to make you extend and stand up, and shots are going to go all over the place. So one of the biggest tips I give to anybody who are facing nerves, competition for the first time, is don't forget to make a good, solid turn. The rest of it will all fall into place if you do not fear making that big turn and doing what you've been doing all summer. Just because it's a club championship doesn't mean that turn all of a sudden gets shorter this week. And that, my friends, is the biggest mistake I see most amateurs make across the board.
That's interesting. Yeah, and if you are participating in a club championship or want some advice, or if you have your own advice to hand out as well, 312-332-3776. Would love to hear from you there. What about, I mean, over the course of like the lead up to the event, all that stuff, just making sure that you're ready physically, mentally, all that stuff. What else are you mentioned, like, don't say a negative single negative thing about yourself, but what about like from a physical standpoint, what are you doing to get ready?
Well, let's take a look at your normal week. You know, are you a guy like myself? I work with a trainer Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:30 in the morning. When I have an event on a Friday or a Wednesday, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure that my body is only going to play golf today. I can't go play a competitive round after I just worked out for an hour and I'm exhausted. But it all goes back to your sleep. How are you sleeping, not just the night before, but a couple nights before? And if you are a big drinker, partier, you know, tone that down. You know, you may need swing juice if you're out there. I get it. But, you know, the simple things, diet, sleep, and I would avoid any of the alcohol until you shoot your good round, then go celebrate. And remember, stay in it. I there's a lot of players that say, yeah, I'm not going to drink until I'm done. And then they get halfway into the round and they say, I just made two bogeys. I'm where's the beer cart? And then they let their round go to, you know, heck in a handbasket, right? Mm-hmm. If you can, again, don't give up, because you just don't know what everyone else is doing. Stay in the present. And that's the other thing that I find that a lot of people do, is after they start with a few good holes, they start calculating, well, if I just do this, I'll shoot 40 on the front nine. Yeah. Or if I just do this, I'll shoot 38. And the next thing they know is, whoa, I just shot 42. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, you took yourself out of the present. You weren't making that good swing movement as you were. That same swing thought just evaporated because you started to think a few holes down the line and what your score is going to be. Staying in the present as a golfer, especially your recreational player, is a hard thing to do. The other thing I would do is take your cell phone, either leave it in the car, leave it at home, or put it in the golf bag and never take it out. Do not get distracted by a text from a loved one or a friend or the office. That will take you out of the present faster than you can say Jackie Robinson. So I have learned no cell phone ever goes with me out on that golf course, because I have to be focused and not distracted. And it's just, you know, it's a non-negotiable item in my own world. I cannot bring a phone out there because I know myself. I'll check it. So I have to discipline myself.
I think one of the interesting things there is you brought up the scorecard and getting ahead of yourself, like, oh, do this, this, and this, and you've got a 40 or you've got a 38 or something like that. I think that, to me, is like I always make a conscious effort. I only look at what my score is at the end of the 9 and then 18. I don't try to get out ahead of it. You know when you're playing well. You know. And I think the second you start to try to map out what your scores are going to be on the final 3-4 holes, that's when you put yourself into trouble, and that's when you create unnecessary pressure on yourself as well.
Amen. You couldn't have said it any better. That is my biggest issue, is doing just what you said. It creates more problems as you try to paint the picture of how's this day going to end. Well, don't get in the way of it. Just let the day unfold the way it's supposed to by staying present in what you're doing. I have found the best rounds that I have ever recorded throughout my life, throughout my career. I had no idea how I was playing. I mean, I knew I was playing good,
right,
but I couldn't tell you if I was 3-under, 4-under, or 5-under. I didn't know. And you know what? Quite frankly, I didn't care, because all I was thinking about is that one swing thought just before I pulled it back. And if I could keep it just that simple for 18 holes, magic starts to happen. But it is human nature to, you know, curiosity killed the cat, right? And so it is a round killer for me. If I start looking at that scorecard, and that is the real reason, if truth be known, why I don't like to keep score, A, I just don't like doing it, but B, I'll start peeking at the scorecard. So if you take the scorecard and you take my phone, all I can do is look at my golf clubs in the golf course and play golf. And for me, I need that self-discipline. For other people, they are better disciplined than I in that regard. But for me, I know that's what I have to do.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you've got a tip or need some advice, if your club championship coming up, we'd love to hear from you, where you're playing, all that good stuff. 312-332-3776. When we come back, we'll take those calls and also update you on what's taking place at the Olympics. Everyone officially in the clubhouse out in Paris. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan. If you missed any of the show today, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, CDGA Golf Show tab, or find us wherever you get your podcast. Before we take a peek in at the wrapped up round three at the Olympics, Mike, what's going on out at the Fox Bend Open that you're at right now?
Well, we just had breaking news. Jeff Graff, a 10 handicap, playing in the C flight, just made an ace on the third hole.
How about that?
How about making a hole-in-one in your club championship? That is a memory for a lifetime. The roar and the cheer that just went up, and it is percolating around the golf course. It's it's just awesome. It's you know, it's our own little world here right now, and it's just so cool, and everyone's into it. It's so fun.
Do you happen to know yardage?
I think it was about 156 yards is okay. Roughly what it was. But I don't know if he hit, you know, 9-iron, 8-iron. We don't know the club yet.
Uh-huh. I'm sure, yeah. All those details will come trickling in a little
Somebody's
bit later.
Somebody's buying a lot of drinks here. And everybody's getting warmed up. They're waiting for him to come in.
Oh, yes. That's awesome. That, like you said, like that's something that you'll never forget is the ace in the club championship there. So that's really cool. All right. Taking a look at what's happening out at the Olympics, Jon Rahm regained his step. He is in a tie for first alongside Xander Schauffele. So Jon Rahm starting to really round his game into form, and Xander Schauffele has been fantastic all year long. They are your co-leaders right now at Le Golf National in Paris. And in third right now, who would come away with bronze at the moment, is Tommy Fleetwood, although he's just one stroke off the lead. And we know how he is. You know, Tommy Fleetwood's always interesting because it feels like he plays very well every other day. And it's showing itself so far again. Listen, he has, in rounds one and three, he's got 67, 69, both very good scores. But round two, he fired a 64. So if he can channel that in, and if he can still be that every other day Tommy, he has a very good chance of coming away with the gold.
He's got a great chance.
I mean, if he fires a 64 tomorrow, I'm going to call it and say he's going to win.
Yes. And honestly, he's one of my favorite, and I would love to see him. And, of course, I would love to see the United States get the gold medal, but if it can't be Xander, man, I'd sure love to see it be Tommy because he doesn't have a major.
Right.
This would be, to me, this would probably help a guy like Tommy Fleetwood go out and win his next major if he were able to secure gold here in Paris.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. Nikolai Høggard and Hideki Matsuyama, each at 11 under. They're three strokes off the lead. Then you've got a really star-studded cluster at 10 under and tied for sixth, and I'm sure looking to make some noise tomorrow. You've got Rory, Scotty, Thomas Dietrich and Tom Kim all tied for sixth right now. And Rory and Scotty. Rory goes 5-under today. Scotty goes 4-under today. So they're right in the thick of things, looking for a medal and maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah, and it would be – I can't wait to see what the pairings are like. I wonder if those two are going to be paired together, if they're going to split them up between Dietrich and Tom Kim. Because in my mind, anybody at minus 10 or lower has a shot at this thing. And I might even venture, depending if you get hot, the guys at 9-under, Ludwig, Jason,
names,
and Joaquin, those guys can go low. And they haven't gone super low yet. And my eye, I'm going to keep a real keen eye on Ludwig.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah. It's Sunday. And what happens on Sunday, Tyler, to Ludwig Åberg?
He has not been good.
No,
he has not gone better than 70 since the Masters.
Isn't that something?
That is a long time.
That's a long, long time.
And he's been 54-hole leader at majors, too. Like, he has come out to play at a lot of these events, just been knocking on the doorstep. But, yeah, no, Ludwig, that's going to be – that's where I'm keeping my eye on for Sunday, because he – because I think it's more telling. At the end of the day, I don't really have a dog in the fight. I don't really care as much about who comes away with the gold at the Olympics. But I think it is telling to see where people's games are. Like, Jon Rahm has – continued his hot stretch. Xander Schauffele continued his hot stretch. Can Ludwig Åberg get rid of the Sunday shakies here? Because that's where he's been the last couple of months. And it looked like, I mean, both you and I, after the Masters, thought he was going to win a major this year. And he has not been that type of player on Sundays since then.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. And
we'll give him a pass for the PGAs because he was dealing with injury. But
yes,
everything else... he's been in the thick of it and then just falls off.
I mean, there was a. It's getting to the point almost like tongue in cheek, saying, you know, Ludwig do better if he went over to live in 54 holes and not have to deal with this fourth round. But no, this is a future star. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But this is the kind of an event that wouldn't surprise me in the least that Ludwig comes up with a medal of some sort. He finishes in a podium finish because. He's just that good. He is just that polished. And we're watching a superstar budding right in front of us. And I just think tomorrow could be a special day for a guy like Ludwig. But I really honestly think the gold is going to come from one of those three right there at the top right now. Yeah. I just think one of those three. And to mention, too, either one of them would be an amazing champion for the Olympics.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And listen, this golf course can be susceptible to a low score. I mean, the low man today is Nikolai Høggard at 9-under, a 62.
Yep.
So if someone goes out there and fires a 62, hangs around that threshold, then you could really be looking at shaking up the leaderboard here, because we've seen a lot of these scores largely hover around 5-4-under for a good day for most of these guys. But if someone goes out there and kind of shocks everyone with a 9, like that, I mean, Nikolai Høggard went 1-under, 1-under the first 2 days and then goes 9-under and finds himself now knocking on the door of a medal.
Yeah, and a guy like Ben Ahn. When I woke up this morning, Ben Ahn, believe it or not, was 8-under through 11. But he ended up finishing at 5-under. He had a double and a bogey on the way in. But the point of this is, this golf course is gettable.
Yeah.
And there's going to be somebody tomorrow that's going to go low. It's just whether or not the top three do it. And if they don't, do they play well enough to ward off the person who shoots 62 or 3 tomorrow?
Yep. No doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Thanks to Potsy, Justin Pottinger, and Matt McMaster for all producing today's show. Kyle Rocky and Mike Gilligan. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the CDGA Golf Show tab on the ESPN Chicago app, or just search the CDGA Golf Show wherever you get your podcast. The segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mike, what is going on around the CDGA?
Well, Tyler, it's August 3rd, and you know what today is? It's National Disc Golf Day.
Ooh, okay.
So if you are a Frisbee aficionado and you go to the PDGA or the the Professional Disc Golf Association, there are courses in all 50 states. So today's the day. If you've never played it or love to play it, get out and celebrate National or Professional Disc Golf Day. Also today, believe it or not, the National Basketball Association was formed. And, that has come a long way since 1949. But what else is going around the CDGA? Well, the Evans at Canal Shores is a new golf course that was just recently redone up in the Evanston area. It was formerly known as Canal Shores, but kudos to Josh Lesnick and the Kemper Sports crew up there for bringing in Wadsworth, redoing it. The media got to go out and see 12 holes on Tuesday, and it is now officially open. Folks, get out there and play it. It is not the Canal Shores you used to know, which was at best a dog track. This thing is it is all that in a bag of chips. You've got to go out and check it out. It is 4 hours of more fun than the law should allow. Great job by everybody at the WGA, the First Tee, as well as the CDGA for helping Kemper Sports Wadsworth get this course go from the outhouse right to the penthouse. So if you've never played it or you used to know it as a course that you probably wouldn't want to play again, check it out now. It's better than ever. And then lastly, CDGA members, we've got various member perks that are going on. Right out here at Fox Bend, for example, a twosome can play Monday to Friday for $80 with a cart. And, folks, it's worth coming just west of Naperville, Aurora, out on Ogden to come on out here to Fox Bend and play a little golf and see Lou and our friend Bob Coldstaff, the superintendent. Otherwise, for those who are interested in lunch or dinner tonight, Jersey Mike's, we always have $2 off for every CDGA member, and that goes on throughout the year. Our friends Jim Vogt up at the Highlands of Elgin, they're allowing folks, if you want to practice for your club championship, I would suggest going to Highlands of Elgin. They'll only charge you a medium bucket charge for a large. That's saving yourself $4. You practice there a handful of times. You almost prayed for your entire CDGA membership just practicing for your club championship. So lots of great deals. Just go into your portal on cdga.org and check out all the other perks that we have for being one of our prized CDGA members, one of 110,000 of you out there, and we love every one of you. And that, my friends, is it from around the CDGA.
All right, awesome stuff. That's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll be back with you next week talking all things golf, and this segment has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Coming up next, it's Peggy and Dion with Jesse Rogers sitting in for Dion. They're live up at Hallis Hall talking all things Bears and training camp, so keep it locked here for that. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.